Yeah, good morning. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And yeah, we are very happy to be here. It's the 2nd of December 2025. Yeah, it's the 2nd of December 2025. We are moving toward the end of 2025. And like we always say, this is a platform. This is a platform that we discuss business, we discuss economic affairs, we discuss things which are happening, particularly from international point of view, and we also look at regional affairs. We touch on the aspect of governance and also everything that affect development and bread and butter. So yeah, like we always indicating to say, December is one of the fastest months. You know, you are on the 2nd of December. By the time you wake up, it's already New Year. That's why we are always indicating to you that make sure that you plan your month very well. Plan December very well so that when it comes to what you need to do, either is enjoying time with your family members, either is planning on what you need to do at home or with the relatives, make sure that you plan accordingly. Because this is the time that you meet various people that you never met before, and also people that you missed. You miss your, you know, you meet your old classmates and everybody out there. That's why it's always imperative, it's always necessary to make sure that you know, when it comes to the month of December, you are, you know, ahead in terms of planning and also in terms of you know, implementation of what you need to do. So, you know, we are greeting you, and it's always very important to start the morning with a positive mindset. It's always very important to start the morning with a positive mindset to say, whatever you do, whatever you are going through, you are exactly where you are supposed to be. And you know, life will not give you something that you will not you know, go through. That's why one of the advice that wise men always indicating to people is that you know, instead of us running away from our problem, why can't we turn back and face them head to head? Face them head to head. Face that poverty. Face that you know, unutilized chance, and also face that you know, challenges of either is timid, either is challenges of you know, lack of opportunities. Face them and see what you can do, because at the end of the day. Stated to say, life is not about good cards given to you. It's not about good cards given to you. It's how you play the cards that are given to you. Because you can have makwakis, but you are still winning. You can have numbers that are not on your side, but you are still winning. That's why it's always important to make sure that, you know, is to stand up and face those challenges head on. Yeah, today, like any other day, before we go to the conversation for today, because today we have a very interesting conversation. We are going to speak about youth and international opportunities. And we are also going to ask the question to say, if 70% of Africans are young people below the age of 30, what are we doing with our young people, especially Namibia? Are we globally competitive? Are we preparing Namibians for the next generation of competitive, able and innovative people? Where are our young people in academia? Where are our young people in business? Where are our young people in innovation sector? And also, where are our young people in all sectors of development? Are we globally competitive? Are we competing with the world? Or we are still, you know, behind? That is going to be the conversation for today. And also to ask a very critical question to say, In terms of opportunities, who are those young people who represent Namibia at an international forum? Who are those young people who represent Namibia at an international forum? Do they have capacity, or they are just there to represent? Are we utilizing the skills and knowledge of the young Namibians that we have? And what do we need to do to make sure that those information are exposed to the advantage of Namibians? And to make sure that, you know, when you think about development, we don't only think about development in terms of Namibia, but we think about development from a global perspective, and also to have a good understanding to say Namibian economy is very small, and it has been proven for the past 35 years that it cannot feed us all. That will be the argument, that will be the discussion for today. Now, before we go to the main conversation for today, let us look at what is happening around the world. What is happening around the world? What are some of the happenings around the world? And there's actually this news that I'm always not happy with, particularly when I'm reading it. I'm always not happy with it, especially the news of migration, the news of people dying in the sea, people dying in those oceans, people dying in the deserts, particularly Africans leaving the continent. And the question you're asking yourself is to say, why are you leaving the continent of your ancestors? Why are you leaving the continent of your forefathers? And what are those pushing factors that cannot be dealt with? Because it's bad news, it's not a good thing, and it's also undermining the ability of Africa to prove itself to be a developing continent, and also to be a continent that is ready for development. To say, why are the Africans leaving their continents of their ancestors, particularly the generation which I have indicated, to say the young people between the age of 19 and 35 there? You know, the new standing is that the Spanish authority have released reports of rescuing over 100 migrants, near the island of El Hierro. And it was also indicated that on Sunday morning, the Spanish Maritime Rescue Service recovered a boat carrying 121 people and 4 dead bodies near Isle of El Hierro. It's in Iceland. And who are these people? These passengers were men between the age of 15 and 35. That is a generation of young people. And according to the definition of youth, in the Namibian context, for example, we define young person according to NYC Act 3 of 2009 to say somebody from the age of 16 to 35, in the global and African perspective, is 15 to 30. But the general point of argument here is to indicate that there are still people who are leaving Africa in an illegal way. And also you are asking yourself, who are these people? What are they going to do outside the continent? And also, are they really going to get opportunities that they wish to get? In this context, it's indicated that the migrants said they had made 8-day journey from Jinak Island in the Gambia, and also all the way from Senegal, Mali, Gambia, and Ivory Coast. And this is really something which need interrogation, because migration, especially the movement of people either within the continent or outside the continent, is really a concern. It's really a concern, because when you look at our friends, our sister from Angola, the one that you see at the robots saying, give me dollar, pengon dollar. Ask yourself this question: why do you think somebody at the age of 9 to 16 left their country with their parents? Do you really think these people are very happy to be here in Namibia? Do you really think they are very happy? Situation, we have pushing factors. Why are the people leaving their continent? Why are people leaving their countries? And how should we deal with this? Because at the end of the day, when hundreds and thousands of people are leaving Africa, thousands and thousands of people around the world are running to Africa, are running for opportunities, then you are asking yourself these questions to say, why there is an imbalance? Who is getting these opportunities? And why are Africans not utilized? Is it government? The state institutions? Is it the impact of colonialism? Or what is really happening? That's why it's always very important to make sure that when it comes to Africa, we really need to to look it very well. And also we really need to make sure that when you come to that point of argument, we need to see, because ask this person, ask anybody a question to say, just jokingly, where do you think you wish you were born in? So let's look at the short commercial break, then we can come back.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Ipuranenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite okoye ekukulile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamwili nawa Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile ko berewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, let us look at this news. Let us look at this news and move forward, especially when people are leaving Africa. And also, some of them, they die in the sea, especially when it comes to migration, especially illegal, immigrants. These are young people. If you are looking at these footage, these are young people. This is what Africa was supposed to utilize, and they go with the aim of looking for opportunities and also with the aim of finding out better opportunities that are being promised to them. And also, when you go deep and do research, look at the reports of what illegal migrants are doing in Europe. You will be shocked. But yeah, let's look at this and continue the conversation.
Food. Spanish authorities have released new footage of the rescue of over 100 migrants in the Canary Islands. Images show members of the Spanish Red Cross helping people, some of them injured, getting to shore. On Sunday morning, the Spanish Maritime Rescue Service recovered a dinghy boat carrying 121 people and four dead bodies near the Isle of El Hierro. Passengers were men between the ages of 15 and 35. Spanish authorities received a distress call from the boat. It had stopped around 30 kilometers south of the island after running out of food, water and fuel. A rescue vessel and a helicopter were dispatched to the area and the survivors were transferred to the port of La Restinga. 13 people were taken to the hospital, one of them with severe hypothermia. The migrants said they had made an eight-day journey from Jinak Island in the Gambia. They stated they had nationalities from Senegal, Mali, the Gambia and Ivory Coast. Another two migrant boats were rescued during the weekend in the Canary Islands, making a total of 524 people saved and five dead since Friday.
We are continuing with, there was a bit of a challenge with my connection, and we are looking at immigrants. We are looking at immigrants. It's indicated that the Spanish authority have rescued hundreds of migrants near the island of El Hierro. That is young people from the age of 15 to 35. These are the Africans which are leaving the continent. And it's quite very important to look at this context, because when it comes to Africa, we come to the point where many of the young people of Africa are leaving the continent with the aim of finding jobs, with the aim of finding opportunities, but they end up dying in the sea. They end up dying in the sea. And the question that we are always asking is to say, why Africa, the wealthiest, richest continent in the world, having their people running away from here? What is going on in Africa that we should fix? Is it a governance institution? Is it poverty? What is going on? Because when you look at the statistic here, we will be shocked. Because remember, it's not only people from Senegal, the Gambia, Gabon, and many other countries, but it's also people from Namibia. It's only that records are not there to say we use boats, but Namibians are also there. And you may be able to agree with me, especially the Homeland Secretary from the UK, when she was indicating that when it comes to migration, the countries which need to put their house in order, Namibia is one of them. That is why when you look at statistics, for example, in 2024 alone, 56,539 nationals from West Central African countries arrive in Europe, and 77% of this one headed to Spain. And Spain is one of destination for migrants. And you are always asking yourself to say, when Africa is losing capacity, when Africa is losing energetic young people, when are we going to develop our continent? Is a dream of Africa that you want really going to be realized if the government and those with power and economic muscles are not utilizing their young people? Because remember, these records is who were rescued. How many died unrecorded? How many of them arrived unrecorded? And also, what jobs do they end up doing? Some of these people, they end up become victims of human trafficking. Ladies end up being violated, because when you are an illegal migrant, your rights are not, recognized in many cases, because you are at the mercy of those who are going to utilize you. That is why this issue really need to be addressed, because if you don't need to look far, look at our friends from Angola. Our brothers and sisters from Angola. You as a parent, you as a brother or a sister of somebody, you wouldn't want your sibling between the age of 6 and 15 to be in the street. That is the age of going to school. When are they going to get an opportunity to go and learn? But you also need to understand to say, these people choose survival over education. They choose survival over education because the situation where they are coming from was not allowing them to survive. That is why when they are at the robots, they are asking for a dollar. That is the best that they could do at that situation. It's also something to be encouraged. It's also something to say, when our governments, they meet, do they speak about these things? Do they speak about these things? Do they consider people leaving their countries? Do we consider Namibians leaving Namibia? There are a lot of Namibians that you know and that you do not know. Some are in the UK, some are in Spain. Yes, some may end up looking like they are doing well, but they are not doing well because they don't have options. But is it really that we don't have opportunities in our countries? Or opportunities are not extended to those who need to utilize them? That is a conversation that need to be looked at. And, while we are there, apart from Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, asking for assistance from the president of Israel to pardon him from cases of corruption and bribery. There is an ongoing debate. There's an ongoing debate out there to say, what if the president of Israel did not do, did not pardon, Benjamin Netanyahu, because he's also going to test his character as a leader, because international communities are also watching to say, why should Netanyahu be pardoned? And it never happened in the history of Israel. But we yet to see how Bibi will be able to survive this, because looking at the history of Netanyahu, he's not an easy man, and he's also not a character that is seen many times, because looking at his political history, I think from the military there to politics, he survived, a lot of political battles. And in Israel, they know him as Bibi, or they call him the political magician. But we are yet to see how things are going to turn out. Either he's going to survive this, and also what will happen after retirement. And also the fact that, when it comes to Israel, how is the state going to be? Because he's really cornered. He's really cornered, because you cannot govern when you are attending court every day. You cannot govern when prosecutors and judges are waiting for you. And you cannot govern when you also have enemies that are waiting for you. You look at what Israel has created, particularly when you look at the geographical area of Israel, you'll be able to realize that north, east, south, you are surrounded by people that you are fighting with every day. You are cornered, you are in a circle. But Netanyahu's point of argument is to say, I need to focus on other bigger threats to my country. Please, Mr. President, assist me to get these cases out of my back so I can focus. But we are yet to see how things are going to turn out. Looking at South Africa, South African President Cyril Ramaphosa has commented back and indicated that what they've been stated by Donald Trump is untrue, and there is no fact. And South Africa is continue to participate in the activities of G20, even though the U.S. stated that they are not welcoming South Africa. And Ramaphosa stated that no, we will continue to be committed to the activities of G20 as a full member. And we have to see what will happen next year, because when you look at the diplomatic tension between South Africa and the U.S., it's really getting into a situation where relations is too fragile, to that extent that when you see presidents exchanging these words at a public platform, remember, there's diplomacy that is conducted in the office, there's diplomatic that is conducted out of public. But when things are coming out of public, the other day I was listening to the spokesperson, a very young lady, the spokesperson of the White House. She indicated something that you cannot call a president, especially Ramaphosa, to say, we see South African president running his mouth. How can you say that at an international platform? But on that ground, we are yet to see how things are going to happen. And looking at how things are, it seems like South Africa found another alternative trading partners. And what economists predicted did not happen. Because when you look at South Africa now, look at the records, that unemployment rate in South Africa is decreasing. It's closer to 30% now, and they are targeting below 30%. And we'll be able to realize that the predicted 30,000 jobs that were predicted to be lost due to tariffs and also discontinuation of AGOA. Seems like South Africa has found an alternative. Seems like they look the other way, because they realize that, to say, the friend that we have that is always calling the shots is not giving us freedom. But it's up to us to make sure that when it's coming to trade relations, we must be able to navigate. We must be able to navigate and find a way on how to trade. And you're asking the same question. It's also Namibia having an alternative when our key trading partners, even South Africa, one day decided to increase all their prices. One day decided to remove their supply from us. Are we going to look where and how are the trading going to be? So yeah, while we are there, there's a good news. It's a good news coming from DRC. It's a good news coming from DRC, especially when it's coming to public health. It was indicated that the Democratic Republic of Congo has announced the end of its latest Ebola outbreak after no new cases were reported in the past 42 days. And when it's coming to public health, when it's coming to Ebola virus, it was stated that there are good development happening there. And the Minister of Health, Ronja Kamba, stated that total 53 confirmed cases, 45 deaths, 11 probable cases were recorded during the country's 16th Ebola outbreak. It's the 16th Ebola outbreak. And some of these diseases are so, you know, concerning, particularly when it comes to countries such as Democratic Republic of Congo. And you are always asking the question, why always in the DRC? Why the DRC is a battleground? Why the DRC is a battleground? Either it's internal conflict, either is fragility of governance, either is illegal mining, either is rebels, either is Ebola outbreak. This one is the 16th one. And remember that this disease is a killer. And looking at the case, the number of deaths is deadly. And when you look at those frontline, you know, workers such as paramedics and doctors, the way they are wearing when they are treating you with this Ebola, we will be able to realize that this one is the deadliest virus. It's the deadliest virus. And imagine somebody is treating you but you cannot see him. He's also scared of you. And this is only happening in Africa. It's only happening in Africa. And I'm also asking myself, have you ever even seen these diseases in Spain, in the US, or any other way? Just asking yourself, or in China, or in Russia. Why always in Africa? Is it what we are hearing really true? Or is it just people's, people's opinions and views regarding Africa being the unlucky in all the cases? When you look at Ebola, when you look at cholera, when you look at HIV and AIDS, when you look at malaria, look at the World Health Organization international reports, that the most of the case studies in Africa, when they are doing their internships in a medical school in the US, in the UK, they come to Africa, they want to see what is really happening in Africa. And the question is always, why are we always known for bad news? And why always bad news happening to Africa? Are we not vigilant enough? Do we have too much trust on external assistance? Or what is happening? Are we becoming a laboratory for testing and also for solutions of cases? It's only a question of what can we do to make sure that we complement the medical assistance with what we know. Because remember, imagine if Ebola virus happened 200 years ago, you think all the Africans are just going to be wiped away. There always would be somebody who will make sure that do his or her research and find out that herb that will be able to assist these people. Because challenges beforehand, they have been handled, they are handled professionally. So let's look at the caller and move forward. Good morning.
Hey, Shambe.
Yes, how are you?
Arava
na. Arava na. Ngurwedi
na.
No, you must speak English.
Yeah?
You must speak English.
Yeah, but we must also respect the culture.
No, I know.
Yeah, we must always respect culture and, yeah.
Mm.
What about those who understand the language? Maybe they wanted to benefit.
No, I hear you. But now even the grannies can speak English now because we are so literate.
Yeah, not in our village.
Okay. What do you have today?
Yeah, I was just following the word, your topic.
Yeah.
On movement of African out and the European are coming. Look, yeah, these things have a long history.
Mm.
Because the first movement of the people, it started with slavery. Because that slavery, when you look at the people who move out, they were not just ordinary people. Some of them, they were medical doctors. Some of them were carpenters. They were engineers. Because they took the fittest people.
They took the best, eh?
They take the best. Because if you are not fit, you cannot go there.
Yeah.
They have to the fittest men in the land. Just imagine now, you take out the fittest land in the land and you take them there. Because majority also died
on the way.
On the way, but only the fittest who survive there. That's why when you look at also how they are saying, so black Americans, they have what? They is like a blue blood. They are very strong. The same as also the white who survived this side, coming this side. They're very strong. Those who are the descendants of the Dutch and the Germans and whatnot.
It's not easy.
Yeah, and this is what you also need to think, to say, you never even ask, when we talk of the stage of the slavery, the movement of people who were removed here, did you know that the millions of the white also died trying to come to Africa? Only that is not spoken about is there.
Yeah, indeed.
Do you think the Shamutine Bota Okoyamasige, no, the first African to touch on the show of Cape Town or something like that? That was the first person? No. Majority of them died.
It's not Jan van Riebeek.
Jan van Riebeek now.
But he did not come alone. It's only the name which is coming out. Maybe somebody also.
They are saying that is the first person, the first one.
Yeah.
But I'm asking, did you know how many died before this one?
No, it's a very good question. It's a very good question. Yeah.
Because you think that person just wake up apparently going in the sea, knowing going to go. Because majority of them died, and we are still a Mifuta, Tariako, Africa. What they call Irumuyo, Asasha, Ashi, do you just take the sea back then, it was even more dangerous than today.
Yeah.
And they remember also the mode of the Umbautumbwe and Mbuyaoma Arapimwi.
With navigators, yeah.
But why they are dying, but they are also always continue to come.
Because because of wealth.
And why these Africans, they are always dying in that ocean, trying to go the other side. But they knew, even the ones that are going, they knew that, no, people are dying in the ocean. Do you think they don't know?
No, they know. But what is so that pushing them to...
But why they are going? Look, there are only two things here. The one that are going, African that are going, they want job opportunity the other side. The one that are coming here, they want business opportunity this side. That's a mathematics. So, that is the beginning. That's why when you go in the concept of a brain drain and something, they never talk about slavery because they never include Africa. But they talk about, the Albertine there. That's where they start. But if you are an African scholar, where you have to start.
Mm-hmm.
That's to improve Africa in a context. Otherwise, no. Because that's where the whole thing started. Mm. Because that's where Africa started producing the best brain. Were removed.
But African leaders speaking about this thing, because the question of migration did not even come out yet. I think we have a lot of problems also. We don't even know which one to prioritize, because you have security here, you have terrorism here, you have poverty, you have inequality. And I don't even know how do we tackle this. I was so shocked to look at some of the document, especially when you look at the AU budget. You realize to say, actually, African Union budget is not us who is funding it, and more than 60% is coming from outside. How are we going to win this thing?
Sombe, I told you many times, it's a franchise.
No, you told me, but we need to discuss about these things to say, how are we going to win
that's
this
thing? That's what I said, Danny. Yeah, yeah. Look, you are worried, but I'm saying, the problem is the franchise system that you are using. Because you are given a system to use.
That you
they
do not know.
They give you money, they even decide who to become a president.
I see.
You see, that's why in Africa the president is more powerful than anybody else. But in America and Europe it's opposite.
No, people they will tell you what they want.
No, it's opposite because the system, everybody is working at the pressure of the state. Here, everybody is working at the pressure of the president. It's not like that.
Mm. And you know, somebody, what is your view on, I know it's out of this context, but I want your opinion also on the presidential task force.
Me, I don't care. We appointed a lot.
Is it not the same thing that Dr. Hange was doing? We have A team, you have advisory, you have this one. You have high level panel on economics.
That's why I said that is, you know, it's like colonialism.
Mm.
It's changed in many faces, but it's just one. Just one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, colonialism is just one. Only changes phases, next phase, color. That's what. But just the aim is one.
Mm-hmm.
Look, you can continue. That's why you even in our country, this person, they come and they reduce the ministry.
Mm.
The other one come and he increase the ministry, increase the cabinet, increase the National Assembly, what.
Mm.
But the problem still remains.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because efficiency, what are we doing for what are we doing? That's it. Come on, I think it's simple.
As long as you
continue appointing on the loyalty and comradeship, because you are going nowhere.
Mm.
You are just totally going nowhere.
And this
because
is
when you see, because you want to consolidate the power, the state power to your party, but your party has not everybody who has a brain. Yeah,
no,
they have brain, but just to say, look. They are untouchable.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are at a position whereby nobody is going to point anybody's finger.
I hear you.
Because everybody is involved. Everybody has benefited.
And there's also one thing which I wanted to say. You know, when you look at, for example, the economic recovery task force, these are some of the, you can say, best Namibians. But my question is that, you know, when you meet these people in the street, you talk to them, they give you an honest opinion. But do we really have people who can give an honest advice? Because the president came out very clear to say, please, I don't want you to make me happy. Advise me if you are even offending me. Do we have those people who can say, no, what you are doing is wrong? Yeah.
You are talking, my brother, but I'm telling you, there is a different when you speak the fact without the truth.
Come again?
There are a point where you talk the fact without the truth. Let it go?
Yeah.
You speak because it's been written, because that is what the law says.
Okay, okay.
That is what the public wants.
Okay, okay.
But you are unable to fulfill that. Utego?
Mm-hmm.
Because, that's why Shimping, I think it's Shimping. He said, look, my friend, situated without the fulfillment of work, it's a threat to the country. Because you raise the expectation of the people. You wanted the rain to come so that at least things change. Just to realize that the crowd have disappeared. You see? We need to be very, very careful. So that's why when we talk of this movement of people, that's why I told you many times, where is the best brain of Africa? If they are not in Europe.
No, they are taken. They are even given free visa in the US.
If they are not in Europe, they are in Africa. If they are in Africa, where are they?
There is a word I don't know. How do they call it?
They are in street, my friend. They are in the street.
No. That one I agree with you, because the best brain, they are not utilized.
If they are not in street, if they are in the office, what are they doing? They are just clerks. Their mind is thin. They are underutilized.
Underrecognized.
Because the problem here.
I think we need that conversation to say where are our best brains? Where are they?
Yeah.
We are led by the best, but where are the genius? Where are the A students? Where are the A students without connections?
My friend, that's why you said while you are pushing education on the other side, one will just become a minister or whatever.
From
of course.
You are right.
So, now, what are we trying to achieve?
Well, doing your second master's degree, somebody who just come from Norway.
You become through
the...
Now, these people in the Europe, when they are coming to Africa, they come as investors. And they also as a tourist. Of course, look, but when you wanted to... I like the Chinese because they learn something from this concept of movement of people, especially through the concept of bread rest. They just try to incorporate like the issue of security there and politics and what. That's why a lot of Chinese have moved out of China during that time when there was a close down, when China was a closed city. Now, when you are seeing Chinese, I go back.
No, they are not here to stay. They are here to work for their country and very patriotic also.
The thing is to sell you. It's like when you go as a spy. Did you know you can only win when you understand? You know, if you want, majority of them, they went there as if they look political silent. They want to go through political asylum, the Chinese, the American government, all those kind of European countries, give them whatever. They give them education and whatever. But it is what they know. These people has already gone through the system of government. They went there and they spent it there. They starting families there. They have citizens there, what. But now, when the Chinese government becomes stronger, they start funding the kids of these people to get the best university and what they don't have. Because their parents are there.
Yeah, Chinese.
You see?
Yeah. No.
Now, these are generation. When I was there, we go in school to Israel, a new city from the script, to accommodate the Chinese generation that want to come back.
Come again?
They were building a new city. for the Chinese who want to come back. No more than technology. Because, London, the way you see, did you know that in terms of communication, transportation, and technology, modern technology, Chinese cities are the best?
No, I know they are far ahead. I think they are the first one with, is it the bullet train? Or how do they call it?
Just imagine, it's difficult to put modern technology and whatnot in London because you are going to destroy how many billions. Because my Chinese friends, they are building this thing from the scratch.
Now let us look at before we give opportunity to others. Let us look at migration. We also know that the Namibians and they are a lot there in either in the UK, in Spain. That's why the Home Secretary also stated that Namibia should put their house in order. That visa argument. What do you think need to be done? Because opportunity must be created at home. But what do you think need to be done to, I don't want to say stay in your country, but also to avoid this thing of saying I don't have any option, but I have to leave my country to, even if I have to become a domestic worker, I just go. Because it's also downgrading yourself, yeah.
Because at the end of the day, Namibians are children with abandoned by the father. Because the government itself doesn't care. Well, even if you today have said, I'm going to Australia, they care about you. You just take your visa, you go. They don't care what are you going to do there, what are you doing there. They just don't care. What knowledge you are saying there, even the school-like students that are being given scholarship, the government doesn't care when they go there. For them, the relationship only come when there is a government involved man. You understand? Maybe when they didn't pay the student will start complaining and what. Maybe if there is anything happening there, like in the case of Ukraine, Namibian need to retain. But just imagine, they even took time to take Namibian from Ukraine and back home. They just don't care.
Maybe they do.
To what extent?
Yeah, to some extent. But let us look at it's quite very.
If they could have cared, remember, if you never move, if you never go outside, or move the world, you never know. You think offer is going to at Haputuka Hagia Roka Mahoka recommend you think the mother is the best cook. And somebody's mother cook.
No, I hear you.
In a modern day, my dear, for you to get money is just through students. Because students are the only people who can go in factories. Through internship, in the hospital, in the company,
they see things.
Whatever, until rebirth, to get the knowledge that I needed and the technology that I needed. That's why our government is not very clever to say, look, sometimes when you send students, don't care whether they are coming back or not. Don't care whether they are going to pay back the money or not. The government must just concentrate to say, look, what knowledge the government needs from this person.
Go there and learn and come back home.
Go learn there. You can still, look, I told you the other time that there was a time when the Chinese were reforming their department, government. Now, they have to use their what? Students inside, also students in Europe and America, to assist them with respect. Because for them, it's the truth. They have to use the students to provide the report. Like those that are in some are those who are working, some are the students. Just to assist them with the research. That's what the government wants. That is what you need. But here, a person can even go and come back. standing outside to come back, and apparently there's no job. What you are not recognized, but you allow the people to go.
But then an outside person was supposed to be more recognized because we have external exposure. You can come back with knowledge, even not really to say just research, but you have more knowledge of the outside world, and you can assist because you have lived in the advanced world. But seeing somebody, I've seen somebody, but I think it's something that need to be worked on. Somebody went to study outside, go come with a master, went, I think, did a PhD. But this person immediately after come back to Namibia and realized that opportunities are not there. People, they leave.
They go back.
Yeah, they go back because there are a lot of offers there. That's why today I'm going to, I think we preempted the conversation. We're going to speak about young people and international opportunities. Who are these people who are getting these opportunities, and how are these opportunities used to get, you know, Namibia back on track? Yeah.
That's why you say if there was that relationship, then government could have a better position now.
It would,
because
yeah.
There's no such a, that's why I said, even myself, I was in Angola also.
Yeah.
But the thing is to say, Emma was requested to write
anything,
any report of what happened there.
You just went for your own advantage.
No, even if you go,
yeah,
I may public
servant. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
But the government was still paying your salary here back home because of the, you know, family issues and what like that.
But were you asked to contribute anything to any department or anything after you were back?
You know, our country and we are still at a mentality when they are the like, it's not really they are just like, it's like when you think it's what, it's a master, it's, you think it's what.
No, you become a threat.
That's the problem that
no, you know, okay.
Let me conclude that.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
That's why when you see this conversation of educated and uneducated and not what.
That fight will never end.
Yeah, people are mocking education, but yeah. They are taking their children to school all the way in school. But now when they didn't make it there, now they want to make a 10 years to have a lot of stories. What? No.
No. Yeah. thank you, Ne.
Okay.
Yeah. The debate between those who went to school and those who did not go to school is an unending debate, and is not necessary, especially this December. Those who went to university, they isolate themselves. Those who stayed at the village, they isolate themselves. And it becomes so chaotic because, you know, you realize that we need each other. You need each other because you have education from university. This person has education of life and experience of life too. That's why the reason we are failing. Those who are in the system, they are scared of those who went to school. To say, no, you think you have an honors degree. You think you have a master's. You think you have a PhD. Who do you think you are? But realize that a young, fresh person who come into the system will not only do for himself, but for our country. But this is a matter of conversation. It's 55 minutes past the hour of 6, and today we are speaking about youth and international opportunities, and where are the Namibian young people? What are they bringing back home? Are they globally competitive? Are we afforded that opportunity? And also, what are we doing at an international forum? And also, what are some of the opportunities that the young people are engaging in, particularly when it's coming to international affairs? It is stated to say, Namibian economy is very small. It cannot feed us all. And we need to go there and also find out those opportunities. And also, either it's education, either it's fellowship, it's training. But the question is that, are these young people getting these opportunities? What are the challenges? And also, once given that opportunity, what are you bringing back at home? Because it's very clear that one of the best things that developed countries, Russia, US, China, what they have done is that they send their people outside there to make sure that they learn about the world. And also, not only to learn about the world, so you get a good job outside, you get married there, but also to come back home and contribute to the needed skills. That's why when it comes to technology, the competition between the U.S. and China will not end, and also to that extent that they reach a level of one-on-one. But what is very important is that the young people of the generation of China and the U.S., they send out there into the world and learn about the world. They come into different form as volunteers, as students, but with only one aim, to make sure that one day they will go back at home. But in terms of Namibia, how many of Namibian young people are participating in international opportunities? Either it's a scholarship, either it's a fellowship, either it's a traineeship, either it's volunteerism opportunities, and also what is their contribution back to the country? And the question, the reason that we're asking this is also that where are the unutilized knowledge? Where are the unutilized people? Who are those who are getting international opportunities? And what can we do to make sure that Namibia is not only operating from the inside, but we also have those who we are sending to get those rare knowledge? Because looking at the conversation of oil and gas, there is always this thing to say, we are going to upskill, and the reskill is the same conversation even with green hydrogen, to say we are going to upskill and reskill, but when are we going to get those super unique knowledge that we can use long term, so that we can take control of our institutions and also take control of our industry? What is very interesting is that I was looking at the trend, especially the contribution of our academician to international platforms, either it's publication, either it's research. And when I look at it, the trend is not trending. It's not how it was supposed to be. How many of international Namibian scholars that you see now that are recognized internationally? How many? It's few of them. I see the VC of UNAM made Namibia proud to be the head of Pan-African University, and also the head of the board of universities in Africa. But there's also one question that you need to ask, to say, where are other young scholars of Namibia in terms of international opportunities, in terms of expanding their skills and also come back at home for us to have a better Namibia that you want? Look, you have economic recovery, task team, health, land and housing. Then the question is always that, what is going to be the differentiation factor? What other new knowledge are we going to put into those sectors? And also in terms of how many people utilized international knowledge, and also how many of those are able to use them in advancing Namibia? I've seen it's called benchmarking. You see people from various industry, can be SOEs, can also be government. You go to other countries and they benchmark, they look at, Public Service Commission has a benchmarking, trip to go to other countries in Africa to see the best public sector practice and also others. But the question is that how many young people are sent to go and benchmark other initiatives from an international forum that can be able to assist Namibians? And also, are these opportunities also given to the able and capable people? Because there is one thing that is always coming out to say, especially with some of youth opportunity, they need endorsement and also recommendation. You just hear David is in Angola representing Namibian people. Say, no, I was just with David last night drinking and speaking with him. But he's in Angola. He's also in France talking at the youth platform and representing the Namibian young people. Then after that, nothing happened. David come home, go to his house, continue working at Eagle FM, and everything is there. Nothing happened. But the question is that, are we sending the capable young people not only to go for Facebook and also take pictures, but also to come back at home to say, okay, David, we're in France, you were in Italy, you spoke at this international platform, you collaborated with young people. What are you doing at home? What are you doing at home with those knowledge that you have acquired? Are you utilized? Yeah, because for us really to, and I see the 8th administration is really trying to make sure that the economy is improved and also opportunities are given. But what is very clear also, and what we need to look at is that our government also need assistance from us young people and also everybody out there. Because there is pronunciations. There's a lot of pronunciation, which is quite good. But we are yet to see what is necessary is the results coming out of there. That's why when you speak about preparation of young people to international opportunities, I did not know about international opportunities before I studied international relations. When you look at any field, and that is what people do not know, any field of studies, you have an international opportunity in any of those fields of studies. If you are a nurse, World Health Organization is there. So you can expand your knowledge. Africa CDC is there. If you are a police officer, Interpol and other international bodies are there. Are our young police officers given opportunity to participate at an international platform so that they can get knowledge to improve security in Namibia? If you are a medical doctor, young medical doctors, international exposures are there. Not only Doctors Without Borders, but international organizations. But are we utilize those young people to get those opportunities? Or is just a circle among the elders? But that is really what we need to know, because in this world where we are, we need not only capable but fast and effective human capital. If you are a teacher, not only UNESCO, but you have a lot of international opportunities. Are you given those international opportunities? Are you supported by where you are at to get those international opportunities? If you are a lawyer, there is a lot you can do. It's African Union. Not only International Lawyers Association. There is a lot of things that you can do. Be globally competitive. ICC is there. But the question is that, why are we not expanding the workforce, the young generation of our time, to be better than how it has been? Because remember, one of the things that the new government did in 1990 when Namibia took power is that they have established the public sector abroad. They made sure that people were sent to school, and education was a key information of Namibian public sector, because most of the people who become ministers in 1990s, they have international exposure. And they were the best among the Namibians at that time. They were the best among the Namibians at that time. And that one we should agree that they were the best among the Namibians at that time. But why is it so difficult now to make sure that exposure is prioritized beyond Namibia? Exposure is prioritized beyond Namibia. Not only from students at scholarship, but also at institutional level. Not only to rotate people, but give those exposure, because you'll be surprised how those Namibians are going to contribute to the changes at home. Because the challenges at home are a lot. The challenges at home are a lot. We are yet to see the task force, what they are going to do. Because one of the responsibilities of task force is studying. Task force don't implement, it's just studying. They study, they bring about the report and recommendation, then it's done. They study, they produce report, and it's done. Then the responsibility will be given to those who will be able to implement. Because a task force is like a think tank. It's almost like a think tank. It's a group of experts that you put together to make sure that you study a certain problem. And maybe the question that we need to ask also, and maybe that we need to, are we at the point of studying Namibian problems, or we are at the point of implementing? Let's hope this recommendation that they will bring about will really be able to assist the Namibians. The president is trying, but the question is, are we honest enough to give the president an honest advice so that she can be able to assist us or to lead us to the right direction? Because if we are honest enough, we can give an advice, an unpopular advice actually, but in a respectful manner that can be able to assist in changing the situation on the ground. So, dear listeners, you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. We are here until the hour of 8. Today we are speaking about young people and international opportunities. What is the necessity of expanding Namibia workforce beyond the borders? What is each profession contribution to international platform? And also, what is the necessity of acquiring international knowledge and skills so that you can come and bring them at home? And also, what can we do to make sure that we utilize all the able young people, and also harnessing, the knowledge of those Namibian young people? Because in Namibia, as you are speaking, unlike any other countries, like the US and many other countries in the world, to say you'll be able to see those who went to colleges and VTC, you'll be able to see that an A student, somebody who get all the distinction, is not guaranteed opportunities in Namibia. You have to go back and fight again. You can avoid your distinctions, but it's not a guarantee. I can attest to that. The best students at university is not guaranteed to get opportunities. Straight A students. And if you are not able to push, connect the network, and continue pushing, you will be out there. And that is an insult to the system to say, why are we not utilizing all the knowledge? I want you to make a crazy study, but it's an understandable study. I don't like calling people marara pipes, but maybe look at not really to say homeless, but people who are living in the street. Some they run out of home. Some maybe are coming from jail. Have you got time and speak with these people around your cities? When you look at these people and you speak with them, you realize to say, this is probably one of the best unutilized skills and knowledge that Namibia have never taken care of. Look at them. Take an IQ test. You'll be shocked. You'll be shocked if you take an IQ test and test them with the state where they are in. Then the question is always coming to say, what are we doing to utilize the knowledge and skills of our people? Because that was our gold, our is unpolished gold that end up at waste. You see them guarding your cars, but you don't know the backgrounds of this person. It could be that these were some of the most intelligent people whose knowledge were not utilized. But maybe it's now the time to realize that we prioritize content. over loyalty, and you prioritize, you know, technical skills of a person. Lazarus indicated to say, look, when you have his qualification at the public sector, and I'm not speaking about just him, become a threat to people. But it was supposed to be something to praise. To say, no man, in our department, we have somebody who has a master's or who has a PhD in media and communication. Why can't we tell him to come and train us? Or why can't we give him a certain something to innovative project? If in our department, we have somebody who has maybe a PhD in project management, instead of that person becoming a threat, why can't we utilize this person's knowledge? But is that really happening in Namibia? Because when you look at, you know, I have some of my friends who say, no, my brother, if you are not, they are not presenting what they were supposed to present because of that environment that was created. But if we could move beyond that, you will be shocked that Namibia is not a lack of skills, just lack of utilization of skills and give these people freedom to innovate and give them real projects to do. So yeah, you can engage us in the studio at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. Today we are speaking about young people and international opportunities. And also we are also looking at what can be done to make sure that when it comes to Namibia, we are at the forefront of our developmental agenda. Because if statistics are indicating that Africa population, 70% of African population is below the age of 30 and 20, below the age of 30, you'll be able to realize that it, at any point in time, it's only in Africa that you find that young generation. But seeing voluntary slavery, where people are presenting themselves to be used as those who use them wished, you realize to say we have a real problem that we need to sort out. But this can only be sorted out when we have right mind at the right places, so that you can move forward. So let us look at the short commercial break, then we can continue with the conversation.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
To put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida, ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo, iho etike kovano ile koshuwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito danjuka okukwetera oipindi konu konda doinawa nuneudo otukwetera o special ange tashake ngejefa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamwiri nawa ninge kwata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onore tatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kongerewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafilane Eagle FM.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyzes issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye. The eye.
Yeah, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop, 17 minutes past the hour of 7, and today we are speaking about young people and international opportunities, and to say the young people utilized, and who are those who are getting international opportunities, and also what, how can we use international opportunities and international platform to make sure that we develop our country, not only in terms of development, but also in terms of new skills. And, you know, when you look at, for example, institutional structures, either it's a university, either it's a corporate institution, either it's cities and towns. Let me give an example for City of Windhoek. City of Windhoek is a department of external relations. And this department is in charge of, promoting relationship between cities. You can say City of Windhoek and Joburg, City of Windhoek and Berlin or Beijing, or New York. Now, in this Department of External Relations, one may also want to ask to say, when it comes to young people between cities, are they utilized for them to get opportunities, or the opportunity of professionals? It's just a question out there to say, out of one trip, have you ever taken one young business person so that they can connect with others? And also, what can be done moving into the future to make sure that when these relationships are built, also the cities or the residents of those towns and cities, they connect with each other. That is what we call external relations, to say, give a trip to somebody from, Singa Kotakapana, for example, to take him to Cape Town, to see how Chisanyama is made, and also the exchange skills and knowledge. You know how game change that is going to be, because that is just an exposure. It's not a scholarship. It's an exposure you give to a person. An exposure you give to a young person to say, okay, you are into Kapana. There is Chisanyama in South Africa. Then, you just need to go there for 2 weeks and observe and see, and travel and come back and be a game changer in our city. How much of the flavor are going to change into that business? It can go beyond that. Universities have that too. There's always an area of external relations or international relations. But how many young academics are given opportunities, not only for studying, but also to expand their research and learn from other people? Because what we have been trying for the past 35 years is an internal development, but a development need to take a broader strategy that will surprise 2030 and years beyond. Because with the formula, it has been proven that the formula of development that we have used did not do us justice. The formula of policy making that we have been using did not do us justice. The institutional and structural arrangement of institutions, there are some which are working, but there are also some which are suffocated by others. That is why when you look at the debate on development, it's only 2 to 5 ministers that you see. Other, you don't see them, not because they are not working, but they are suffocated by others due to policies and also complication in terms of, arrangements of those ministries. But what you need to look at is that what can we do to have a best formula of governance, a best formula of economy, a best formula of, monitoring and evaluation. You can only do that when you have international exposure. And who is going to be there? Because it is undeniable that youth of today are the future. It's undeniable. Not only in Namibia, but in the whole Africa. They are the future. But are they prepared to develop our country? Are they prepared to take the next button to the next level? And who is going to prepare them? Are they prepared to think beyond the box? Are they prepared to think out of the box? Are they prepared to innovate? Or they are just prepared to become dealers? Because somebody get an international exposure, I come with investors and I become a middleman. But that is not innovation. One day I was speaking with former senior journalist, and there was a debate. And I put it out there to say, Namibia, we don't have industrialists. And he was very angry with me. He said, no, we have industrialists. I said, no, prove who do you call an industrialist in Namibia? I put it out there. Yes, we have few people who build industries, but who is an industrialist? He innovated, disrupted the market, and ran an industry. But it came out that we have pre-industrialists, we don't have industrialists yet. And when are we going to have industrialists? How can you industrialize without having an industrialist? An industrialist, somebody like Dangote. You come, you see, you conquer. You come, you see an opportunity, you take it. You build, you become competitive. But how? Because yes, he was given opportunity too at a younger age. He has a different background. A lot of people, they argue Dangote was given money when he was young. Yes, he was given money. But can you not admire the skills that he brought and the competitiveness that he put into Africa? So that is where the conversation should start, to say you can't operate within your village anymore, because the world become a global village. And you must have a game plan to say how many young people are being sent outside to get the right skills. Upskilling is good, but you can't be globally competitive by upskilling only. You can be globally competitive if you have the real thing. Upskilling, you are training a person to become an assistant, but you want a real person, a real thing. Upskilling is good with new industries, but people must go out and learn those new skills if they don't have them, or we must learn them here. But international exposure and learning from the best is the only way that we are going to do, because there is nothing that we did not try at home. We started the White Elephant Projects. We started. There are also those who succeeded, actually. There are things that succeeded, but we started. What we need to do now is to make sure that we expand, we broaden the strategy. To say in terms of oil and gas, I need, for example, 40 or 100 young people. How is the structure of oil and gas? I need 100 young people. They go outside, they learn into these 5-3 sectors. Not oil and gas, though. Real thing, and it become industries. Maybe chemical engineering, science in oil and gas. They become experts. Because remember, ask yourself this question. Why do you think for the past, not 35 years, for the past 35 years, Namibians alone cannot run a mine, alone Namibians themselves, on their own, standing on their own, cannot run. They can't do it. Just pure Namibia running a mine, they can't. It will not happen now because we did not think ahead of having those people. Yes, we want to own shares in the beers, but we can't run a mine on our own, Namibians. Let's say we are given machines. Let's say the guys from UK, Malaysia, China, they just say, no, we are not working today, just Namibians. It will not work. Running a mine. Go and you can debate it somewhere. Why do you think is that? Because we still have a gap in the skills that we could have gotten from international exposures. When our grandparents were working at roasting and CDM, their job was just to work because that is how the system was saying. But not really to go beyond that, just to work and go home with your money and develop. But when the new administration, what it could have done, which is not a blame, what we need to do now is to make sure that we establish structures for the future. If you are speaking about industries, we must first understand how to operate the basics. As we are speaking here, Namibians alone cannot, just Namibia, I'm not underestimating anybody, there are those who are good, cannot build a railway, just alone, or just them. It can't. But maybe what we can do, assembling a car, maybe now we are able to do it. Because we are at a point where if we had real good international exposure, we wouldn't be importing toothpicks. If we have real good international exposure with an intention, we wouldn't do that. We wouldn't import bottles of water. We wouldn't do that. If we had real good international exposure, you wouldn't import a lot of things that we have. We wouldn't be able not to feed ourselves. That is where the conversation should be at, and that is how the conversation should be elevated, to say, what is the intention of youth and international exposure? Is it just getting a recommendation, then you go and sit and take pictures to say, no, I'm David, I'm here, I'm in Paris, France, representing the young people, speaking on behalf of the young people? Who said they don't have a mouth so that they can speak for themselves? Everybody, people can speak for themselves. We want you to come back with something unique. And when you come from there, come and make a presentation. Come with a project and say, in France, Paris, this is where people are in terms of education. This is where people are in terms of trading. This is what we need to do. Not only for me to go and take selfies. No, guys, I'm updating you from Beijing, and this is what I do. No, it should not work like that. We must be intentional in the way we do things, particularly those who are given international opportunities. And also the intention to say the mission is to go, not for you alone, but for Namibia. Good morning. Good morning, you are on air. How are you? No, missed calls, they are not good. Don't make a missed call, just call straight. Yeah. And yeah, that is what we are saying. That is where the conversation is going, to say, your young people in international exposure, what is the intention of sending them? And are we very strategic in our sending? Or we are just short-term, oriented? Because if you are very strategic, we can run a mine alone. just Namibians. If you are a mining engineer and you are working in China in a certain mine, and all the foreigners in China said to say, no, we are going home, but the mine will not stop. People will just say, oh, you are going home, going to Namibia. We put the new one. Then they work on their own standing institutions. Can we operate a power station alone, just Namibians? Maybe, because I did not travel there. But I still have to see the brain behind that. Who are those guys who are dealing with high voltage electricity? It's few of them. I think Dr. Elombo is one of them who specializes in that. But we have few of those skills in Namibia yet. How are we going to build our power station if our international exposures are not aligned with our national strategic objective of building a nuclear power? Who's going to run that nuclear power station? Imagine we establish a nuclear power station, then let me say Iran or Russia or China have assisted us to establish that. Are it still them who's going to run those nuclear for the next 50 years? Or are we studying toward it? Are we benchmarking in the real things? Because that was what was supposed to be. So, dear listeners, you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. Today we are speaking about international strategic youth international opportunities, strategic youth international exposure with an intention of developing the country, not only in the sake of the concept of development, but the real development in terms of industries. We are speaking about how many Namibians can confidently state that they can run an industry alone, standing on their own. How many of them can say, no, in this mine for the next 2 weeks, just Namibians alone, things are not going to collapse. At this power station, just Namibians alone, things are not going to collapse. Why am I saying that? I'm saying this because we still do not have those skills and capacity to have a standing industry operated by the fully Namibians. Because there's always a brain behind, and there are always those people that you don't see. But if you go to a certain industry, you'll be able to see people who are doing the real job, and you also differentiate between the face and the real guy in the engine of that industry. That's why we are looking at that. And we are not speaking this for the sake of blaming, but for the sake of elevating that debate and conversation to say, looking ahead, let us align where we want to go with what we are doing now. Especially when you speak about real industries. Speak about green hydrogen. Yes, let us not upskill. We must be strategic and run the industry by training people, not only in the short courses, but be in the engine of the industry. Speak about oil and gas. Yes, Namibians are going to benefit from the value chain. It's always a concept that is being spoken about. Value chain, who, where, what value chain, at what level, at what percentage, who is going to be in the industry? So you want me to be hand hunger in my own country? Why can't I be in the engine of oil and gas industry? Why are you training me to target people on the road with fat cakes so I can sell them, those who are working at oil and in the gas industry? Where can I be in the engine at the center of that? Where can I operate the machines? So you must train me to run the industry, not to be a support. Yeah, you can still come back. Call back at 083-288-401-083-288-401. You can still engage us in the studio so that you can give your contribution. You can ask your question, because we are not the expert. We are not the expert. You can still contribute to the conversation. You can still be able to contribute to the conversation, because we are saying, you know, it's through discussions that... Good morning.
Morning, David. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Were you calling?
Yeah, I was calling. I thought maybe you were busy going to have a conversation with somebody. I thought I heard something like that.
No, we did have a conversation already.
Oh, you mean with your guest?
No guest today.
Oh, no, I heard the other one that you had with Tatekwedi.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that one I followed.
Mm-hmm. So what is your view on the conversation?
Yeah, my view there, I think, is just that our young ones are also, they have what it takes.
Okay.
To be at the international stage.
Mm-hmm.
Because I heard, now that you have mentioned about their boss,
mm-hmm.
especially those at the university, like the doctor who has been appointed there,
mm-hmm.
and these are the ones who have been molding this one, young ones,
mm-hmm.
I think when you look at our ranking, our university,
mm-hmm.
and many of our institutions are also on the top.
Mm-hmm.
So meaning that if they are the top, they are also producing quality graduate.
Mm-hmm.
How do you call it graduate? They all graduate.
Yeah, it's same.
So it means that maybe it's really a matter of marketing,
mm-hmm.
their skills or whatever, so that they can be strategically positioned
mm-hmm.
to some of those strategic positions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they have the quality. I'm not so sure if they are not, many of them are not found in the international market.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what could be the problem. Maybe they are not interested, or maybe they don't see opportunity coming. But I have been hearing people, at one point I was hearing that people, most of our graduates,
mm-hmm.
they are also in those countries. I just don't know which country.
Yeah, people are getting, they want euros and US dollars. You are not paying them here.
Okay. Yeah. But people are saying that apparently our teachers are well paid in Southern Africa. I don't know why.
No.
I'm just hearing that.
I don't think that should even be a discussion, because we want real skills and, People are running. You see, most of the academics, when they are not operating here, they go outside.
Yeah, so that means they are getting the good opportunity if they are going outside.
And I'm just happy to those who stay, because there are those who are patriotic enough to that extent that they don't care with offers. Let me give you an example. The Vice Chancellor of University of Namibia is one of the intellectuals, the intelligentsia in Namibia. He managed to outperform everybody in Africa, then become the head of Pan African University. You understand? On top of that, he's also the president of the board of universities. That does not only look at the leadership, that show the ability of how Namibians can do once given opportunities.
Yeah.
You understand? Which means that in the whole of Africa, at any point in time, when you look at, it's not only the head of University of Namibia, but how many Namibians are out there who can still do the same? It's not only him. It's only exposure and opportunities. And some of them, do you think he did not get, and I'm sorry to speak this, maybe he got a lot of offers but decided to stay, maybe from outside.
Well, I think they are getting, they can get those positions. conservative is like you said, maybe they just want to be patriotic. But the people that I'm hearing who are mostly going outside, those are the ones who are now perhaps looking for political asylum or economic asylum or whatever. So I'm not so sure whether they are of that caliber. So because most of the people who are migrating, they are saying that there's no job here, but many of those ones may also not be finding it easy to get a job here. But I mean, they can get a job because when they get their head, one of my, the person that I know, who are going into Europe, they say, it's not easy. You see why? Because many a time, sometimes they make you a slave. Because when you go there, they seize your passport, they seize your what, and whatever income that is coming is actually determined by them. And many of those ones, they don't even get anything. So I don't know what type of slaves and their incomes is not coming to them directly. So there are those category of people who are that who go there and then find themselves in that position. So maybe we also need to interrogate.
No, that is especially those who went there. If you go there illegal. Or you go there with a fake offer, because people are always taking advantage of our weakness. Because when you are saying we don't have opportunities in Namibia, they say no, best opportunities, you don't even need a grade 10 certificate. How can you think you get the best opportunity in Canada if there are also people there without a certificate? What is that? If it's not the ordinary thing that we would do, even worse things that people don't want to do.
You see now, those are some of the things. Let's also try to facilitate economic opportunity and also take the economic opportunities where the people are.
I want your view, ne? I want your view on recently appointed presidential task force.
Yeah.
Well, what is your view? There is task force on economic recovery. There is task force on health, there is task force on land and housing. What is your view on that?
Yeah, if they can collaborate and coordinate their efforts, because you know those sectors can put their minds together, and those are the health and the economic and all that, and then maybe.
One second. Just hold on.
If you've reached that stage in life where you are tired of everything, where each day is just routine, no, seriously, I am genuinely sorry for you, because you clearly haven't been polanified. Like boring day at the spani. Polanify your lunch hour with a delicious Polana curry. Chewing through yet another stale sandwich. Polanify your burger with a little mac and cheese. Tired of chewing the same shandy? Polanify your munchies with air-fried Polana pasta chips. Come on, life's too short for boring. Polanify every moment with Pasta Polana, a proud product of Namib Mills.
Okay. What is so crocodiling there?
Sorry.
Yeah.
Now we can go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, you can continue.
Crocodiling. No, I think the task force. I think it's good. They might. I think they will bring. They will make impact. So if they can coordinate, and then maybe you know most of these things, there are also a lot of duplication. Yeah.
I want you to come to that point. You are too diplomatic. I want you to come to that point. Duplication.
But I think it could be a good idea. Because sometimes people work in silo. And then you think that, and most of these issues are cross-cutting issues. If there are issues in education or health and things like that, so, and then they are able to really harmonize their resources and energy, it could be work well. Maybe those who are experts, they maybe found it fit to see how the minister, I mean the president, can be advised from different sectors. And maybe those selected sectors are the critical ones to coordinate and seriously mobilize resources. I think it will make a meaningful impact.
And when you look at, for example, the Economic Recovery Task Force, okay, you have a lot of experts. Now, let us look at the previous administration of Dr. Genko Meiso, rest in peace. In 2019, he inaugurated the high-level panel on Namibia economic, economic recovery. And the, one of the mandates is, to analyze and recommend ways to revive the economy, private sector-led investment, job creation, and inclusive growth. I want you to take three of those things, maybe job creation, inclusive growth, and private sector-led investment. What are some of the key successes of that high-level panel on Namibian economy? Now it's good to analyze and see maybe what lesson can we learn from that, because it's high-level panel with various experts, but the question is that what is the achievement on that?
Yeah, I think they did a lot, especially even the one that you read by the Nangula Wanja and others.
No, the investment bodies is now.
I thought you mentioned about the previous one, administration.
Yeah. But I'm seeing about what is the achievement. Sorry, you can call back, but we have around 12 minutes before you come to the end of our conversation. But, we wish, there is nobody who does not wish Namibia to advance. We wish that of who is given that responsibility to do them to the best of their abilities. Yes?
Yeah, I think they did a lot.
Did they create the jobs between 2019 and 2025? How many jobs were created?
So I might not have the statistics, but I know a lot of people benefited from those sector.
Between 2019 and 2025, how many in terms of economic growth? How did we grow economically?
Yeah, I heard they have grown. The economy has grown.
Who?
I was reading at one point they say it grew with 3%.
Yeah, and is it sustainable economic growth which is inclusive? Because the point was to say you should not only grow in terms of number, because if you are growing and the commercial banks are making profit, extraordinary profit, and are making a lot of debt. What is growth about that economy? Is it inclusive? Is it sustainable? Because things must coordinate also to say the economic growth must be felt in deep down Opoa there. It must be felt deep down Okongwa there. Not only economic growth in terms of numbers, but is it inclusive? That was the aim.
That's why I mentioned the point that we also need to facilitate and take economic opportunity like in those areas that you have just mentioned. So we might, and if that is can be sustainable, that will be good enough. So, and sustainability is one of the points that was discussed in South Africa, and it's also part of us here. So let's now see how we can grow and sustain those areas. So that in them, but the issue is, let's take opportunity where the people are.
Let's take opportunity where the people
are. If they can do that, then we will be happy.
Thank you.
Welcome, sir.
We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And yeah, the other thing that we need to look at before we come to the end of our conversation and before we give the mic to Big Mac to unpack the day is Bank of Namibia. It was stated that on Friday, we indicate that, you know, the governor of Bank of Namibia, Dr. Johannes Kauhaber, addressed staff of Bank of Namibia in his final staff meeting. And also reflecting on the transformative 5-year tenure of reform, renewal. And also, I think it was a final, it was a goodbye to the staff from the governor of Bank of Namibia. And, you know, he's a man who handled Namibian economy at a very, the Bank of Namibia at a very difficult situation. Because it's very tough, especially COVID-19. Speak about drought. Speak about, you know, Russia and Ukraine war. Speak about, you know, tariffs war. And you realize that some positions are not for everybody. You need to be very tough. And it also shows the character of a person. That's why Bank of Namibia is one of the, not really to say the best, but one of the high performing reserve banks in terms of their work. And I think, you know, it's quite also important also to see those who play a role in our economic development and also those who expand the information, because from where I've been standing, looking at economic information, I think they become more accessible during this time. And I think Bank of Namibia is open. A lot of people used to be scared. You don't even come closer to Bank of Namibia. When you see highly guarded by, you know, police and all these things, but you'll be able to realize, to say now, Bank of Namibia become so open because it was due to the old system, isolated, but you'll be able to see that it's more open, more engaging. And I think it's something that everybody can also appreciate at this point, particularly when you speak about economy. Yes?
Yes, morning.
Morning, how are you?
That's all right, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. So, long time.
Yeah, long time, man. It's been a while.
Yeah, so what's up?
Nothing much.
Oh, where, what are you busy with?
I was busy with something.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's good. Men must push.
I'm telling you.
No, we don't only need, we must push. It's really a good thing if you have something to push. Because, other people are just dreaming to be like you. We think you are suffering in this, it's true, in this economy. You know what is interesting? Before you bring your point, in this economy, you think you are not doing very well, but other people, they are dreaming to be like you. That's why it's always good to appreciate.
It's true.
Yeah. So what is your input?
Yeah, my input is that, you know, the thing is that, I think we are not enough then exposed, especially when it comes to Namibia. Also, the thing is that when it comes to the level of poverty which we are having, maybe people can find the opportunity, but the problem is finance is what is.
To get there, exactly.
That is a problem.
Well, what about those of us who are given opportunity? Do we bring back home or we just take selfies?
Most of the people, those who don't get the opportunity, they even stay. They don't come back at home.
They don't come back at home, or they just do it on their own.
Exactly, some of them don't come back. Just imagine those people who are getting grants to go and study abroad. I'm telling you, especially the people who are in the UK,
they shine.
America, Canada, some of them never come back. I'm telling you.
You only meet them on LinkedIn.
I'm telling you, just on chat now.
Yeah. but
WhatsApp.
What do you think we need to do?
For me, I think once you get the opportunity to be exposed outside, come back home so you can establish what you learn outside. Now, some of them, they are coming back, and then now we are fighting for this tender which we are getting, and the job which is, instead of coming up with something new.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm telling you, once you get that opportunity to be outside, you're exposed to a lot of things which are not in Namibia. You need to bring that at home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think seriously we need to. And as a government also, they need to come up with something where they have to invest in the student. Anybody, even especially when it comes to technical. They've been sidelined by the what? The people who are doing what? Theory.
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely.
I think our country will fail, my friend. This is a problem I think we see in our Namibia economy.
Theories cannot build anything.
No, you cannot build anything. That is what we are doing for the past 35 years.
Yeah.
And we want to compare ourselves to another, I mean, why the other countries are doing better. Because we learn from Germany. It's been built by action.
It's technical. Even their politics is flooded by technical people.
Yeah, exactly. It's supposed to be like that.
Yeah.
But us, it's the way around. We are talking about as long as you have a PhD degree, but this guy cannot even come up with even a cut-up shop.
I hear you.
The person who is able to weed anything or plant something or do something, we look at them like, no, you cannot get the finance because you are not. Yet they what about management and what. But this is supposed to be taught even at the level of one when it comes to VGC. How to even to complete what inland revenue return. I'm telling you, you live with the VGC, now you put your company there. You are struggling even to fill the form of finance.
That is a problem. We have one. We don't complement. Even business wise also.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I think they are improving that. I have seen that with the vocational, they are improving to say let us incorporate business, even theories and also even writing a balance statement.
Yeah, balance sheet.
Balance sheet.
Yeah, serious. We need to.
Okay. Thank you very
much. Have to go then. Thank you, my brother.
All right. Thank you for your contribution.
Sure, man.
Yeah, we are moving forward. We are moving forward with. With early morning scoop, and it's quite important, especially looking at the discussion and also contribution. Thank you very much for listening to early morning scoop, and thank you for those who contributed, and also those who you continue to listen and also support us. Make sure that you follow us in our social media platform, like and share, so that we'll continue to update you when it's coming to economic information, development, and also things of current affairs. And from me, David Shombe, have a good day, and I'll leave you in the good hands of Michael Shoveri to unpack the day. Bye-bye for now.